So we know from all that we've discussed today that the Lord is coming back. We all know that. What impact is it having on me now? And this scripture is basically telling us that everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. So in anticipation for the Lord's return, I should be in a condition that when he returns, I should not be ashamed. That's one thing I see. And there are the list of other things that I really can see that we should be engaged with, knowing that he's coming back. We don't know when he's coming back. That's one of the other things we said before. We don't honestly know when he's coming back. But in view of the fact that he is coming, what should I be doing?
We might ask ourselves in a very practical way that thought that everyone that has this hope purifies himself. Is it a hope that is just in the mind, or does it then, as we've been saying, it has a very practical impact on us? And I would suggest it does. It's sort of the thought, a little child is left for a while. Mommy, daddy say, now, you stay right here, and we're going to come back. And the child is told to do certain things and not to do certain other things. Right? And now, as long as the child remembers mommy, daddy are coming back soon, they might take care in what they do and what they don't do. But when they forget that, they lose that hope or that in their mind, then they forget. And then they may even forget what they were told, they were instructed. And so they end up being disobedient. So this is, I think, the thought here, that it does impact our decisions that we make, what activities we engage in. And we could ask ourselves, should I go here, should I do that? Well, what if the Lord should suddenly appear at that very moment while I'm there doing that? You know, well, maybe that's a standard to ask in what I should be doing and where I should be going. And this will help keep us holy, keep us purified. Just a suggestion and a practical application of this verse. So it has that effect on us, having that hope in us, lived out in our lives.
I think when we look in the
scripture here, I take it from where it begins, from the love aspect. You hold what manner of love. When you think of it from that point of view, I remember Dr. Patterson saying many years ago, where love controls, dynamite can blow us. The power of love has a tremendous growing strength. I think that's the power of what the scripture is saying. It begins with the manner of love. When you think about the love that God has bestowed upon us in giving his son, that ought to transform your life. Another scripture I like that goes along with this is in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 and 18. Verse 18, I read first. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory. So it's not so much what I do, but what he does in me. It's the aspect of being occupied with him. When you think of the disciples, and when they spoke, they took note that they had been in Christ. Their conversation changed. The words they spoke, it was different. We had a saying back home, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. The company you keep changes you. For the good, for the bad. So what I'm looking at here is saying, as we are occupied with him, our behavior changes. Not so much what I can't do, but what I can do. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. He became bound up with him. So love has to draw us to him. If love don't draw us, no rule book, no kind of rules anybody would set to keep me. It has to be the love for Him. And when our affections are drawn after Him, you ever seen a young man in love with a girl? Every 2 minutes he speaks, he starts talking about her. Every job I go on, I work on a lot of different jobs, I talk about my wife. What my wife does for me, how much I love her, because it's real. It's where your heart is. That's what's going to occupy you. So if we are in love with Him, and we allow the love of the Father that has the manner of love that He's bestowed upon us, this will affect our walk, our ways, our attitude, just as we decide who will be the Lord.
In Matthew chapter 25, we have the parable of the virgins. And since, brother, you asked the question about, and our focus is, how does the return of the Lord Jesus Christ impact our lives? I think that we can see something as an application from this parable. We need not read the entire parable, but make reference to it, that there were these 10 virgins, and 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And I suppose it's appropriate, as our brother has made mention of love and made reference to conjugal love that a man has for his beloved wife. You know, Israel said in Jeremiah, or the Lord said, I remember you, the days of your espousals. Israel was holiness unto the Lord when she went after him in the wilderness. And so this affection had an impact. But here, these 10 virgins are in the expectancy of one who is coming. And when you know someone is coming, I know, since we make mention of family life, if someone's coming to the house, I try to help out, but my wife has a tremendous sense of obligation. Everything has to come into order, whether it's the dining room or the living room or the linen, and everything is in a whirlwind to get that in order. And she is not in rest until it's perfect.
We're coming.
Do you like Italian food, brother? And so the expectation drives the behavior. And here they are. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And when the bridegroom was announced that he's at the doorsteps, you know there's a hymn, I can almost hear his footsteps on the threshold at the door. Yeah. So we should be listening, watching, and waiting. But the issue here is preparedness. And are we prepared? Well, the only way to be prepared is to be saved. And the application of having oil in the vessel, those who are saved are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, parables break down, because they're given to show light. They're not given to really create doctrinal, exegetical analysis. But the point is this: preparedness. Are we ready? And at midnight, the cry came, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Of course, this is Israel. But there's a tremendous lesson for us here, by way of application. Are we ready? Not only are we saved, but of course, are our lamps trimmed? Are our lights burning brightly? And reference could be made in terms of the testimony.